You're listening to Now I've Heard Everything, conversations with the icons of our time.
Our recipes have always been familiar ingredients in unusual combinations.
We love to get that wow factor. Wow, I've never tasted anything, you know, like that or that good.
Cookbook authors Sheila Lukens and Julie Rosso today on Now I've Heard Everything. I'm Bill Thompson. Hundreds of cookbooks are published every year. Thousands have been published since the early 1980s, but very few have had the impact of 1982's The Silver Palette Cookbook. It was an outgrowth of a popular New York City eatery called The Silver Palette, run by Sheila Lukens and Julie Rosso. They, in fact, helped introduce Americans to a Mediterranean, European kind of cuisine that very few Americans had ever seen before. Over the next 20-plus years, the Silver Palette Cookbook sold millions of copies and became a staple of many kitchens across the country. In 2007, Lukens and Rosso published a 25th anniversary edition of the Silver Palette Cookbook, and that's when I had the chance to sit down with the two of them and have a talk. So here now, from 2007, Sheila Lukens and Julie Rosso. What has been the biggest surprise for the two of you over the last 25 years when the book has, is there anything about it that you just thought, my gosh, people love that part. We didn't think that was going to be so, or was there anything about it that surprised you?
Basically, we weren't sure anyone would buy the cookbook, so the whole thing has been a surprise. We wrote basically the cookbook that we wanted. And we broke a lot of rules in doing it. We didn't have any photographs in the original cookbook. And this anniversary edition does have over 125 four-color photographs. So it really has come alive for us. But it also had things like quotes and ingredient information and little stories of what we were doing in the shop and how to do menus and all those little blurbs and sidebars that people used to take the book to bed with them. And that was in many ways the way people first became familiar with the book. And then they started to cook from it.
I can't imagine any other cookbook or any other book about food for that matter that people are going to take to bed with them.
Well, the book was lively and fun and youthful and sexy and just totally different than any other cookbook anyone had ever seen. You know, it was just joyful.
Well, now, for the 25th anniversary edition, you don't just slap a new cover on the original book. As you said a moment ago, you have all these color illustrations now, but is the text of the book, are the recipes substantively different in any way?
Well, I'll let Julie explain the text because she redid the text, but there are several new recipes. Certainly there's a new turkey. There is a great new barbecue sauce. There's some roasted vegetables, which seemed appropriate. There are roasted tomatoes. There are roasted honey carrots, roasted asparagus with a gremolata sauce. There's a great barbecue sauce with our riblets. There's a great there's an apricot sauce and for our wings, our chicken wings up at the beginning of the book. They're just the appropriate new recipes that we thought would bring the book up to snuff for today's new cook.
Basically, so much has happened in food over the last 25 years that we couldn't not update the text. I mean, things like the artisanal American cheeses that are all new, you know. In the original book, it said you must go to your kitchen and bake these breads because there's no good bread in America. Well, we know things have changed. There are artisanal sausages. There are all sorts of heirloom vegetables. And we're all addicted to farmers markets these days. And there weren't farmers markets 25 years ago. So much has changed. We've always cooked with the seasons. We've always cooked from natural, real foods. But the landscape has changed out there so that what wasn't available in every nook and cranny in this country is now available. For example, fresh herbs. You know, then it was a search for fresh dill or fresh tarragon, and now those herbs are in every supermarket, and people are growing them like crazy. So there's a lot that's changed, and we wanted the book to reflect all of those changes.
Well, collectively, have our palates changed? I mean, 25 years ago, I guess buffalo wings were just starting to make their inroads. Salsa was still kind of a specialty condiment. Have our tastes changed?
Well, I think that, you know, first of all, let me just say, that our recipes have always been familiar ingredients in unusual combinations. And the recipes really hold up today. The Silver Palette recipes are great, were great then, and are great now. So the book does hold up. While there are some new recipes, the recipes that we had then are great now. Have our tastes changed? Yeah. I think that what Julie was saying about all our farmers, all our growers, I think that, yeah, we are very ingredient-centric today. And American food is great because our ingredients are so great today. So everything, all the recipes say that are in the book, are like 10 times better today because our ingredients are so delicious. So that has a lot to do with why the recipes are so brilliant today.
I think over the years we've all been exposed to so much, both every ethnicity, every distributor. I mean, everything's available to everyone all the time, year-round, anywhere, anytime. And I think now we've learned how to become more selective, so that when you're going to spend some calories on something that's chocolatey, you want it to be the most outrageous chocolate thing that you know how to find or make. When, I mean, just it goes into every category, that you want to taste the very, very best. And I think that's naturally what happens when you have so much available that you become more and more selective.
But also in 82, people weren't counting fat grams. I'd correct me if I'm wrong. I don't think anybody had heard of the Atkins diet yet. So you have to take that into account too, don't you? Is there our changing awareness of our nutrition?
Well, yes, and for a long time, people were very confused about how to eat. I think now things go to an extreme and then they come back to center. And I think people now know that if you eat less and you eat really good foods and you eat, you know, small bits of everything that you want to eat, you'll have a well-rounded diet, that you don't need to go to one extreme or the other.
The lifetime of this book has gone from eggs are good for you to eggs are bad for you to eggs are good for you again.
That's right. And we have some delicious chocolate recipes in our book. Now you can go and choose your chocolate. You can have Valrhona, you can have Scharfenberger, you can have this, that. Who would think we'd have a line of gourmet chocolate to choose from? I mean, it's amazing. You know, and yet in our chocolate mousse, you can use Nestle's chocolate bits, and the chocolate mousse is still brilliant.
After this short break, Sheila Lukens and Julie Rosso speculate on why the Silver Palette Cookbook became the trendsetter.
Start your day with Now I've Heard Everything.
We post new episodes every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 5 o'clock a.m. Eastern Time.
Subscribe now so you'll have something fresh to listen to and get your day going.
Now back to my 2007 conversation with Sheila Lukens and Julie Rosso.
So what do you suppose it is? I mean, tens of thousands, maybe hundreds of thousands of cookbooks have been written and marketed since 1982 when the book first came out, but yours remains the classic. It is the standard by which others are measured. Why do you suppose that is?
Well, that's very kind. I think a lot of things. I think because it's a friendly cookbook, people became very comfortable with it. And so they sort of treasured it from that point of view, that they could rely on the recipes. We were taking them into uncharted lands with new dishes that they hadn't heard of before, whether it was a moussaka or a torta rustica or, you know, chili for a crowd, things that they just hadn't experienced, chili with olives, you know. Nobody had done that. I mean, just taking them to the next step, but plus, everything they tasted was really good. We love to get that wow factor. Wow, I've never tasted anything, you know, like that, or that good. And so I think that they were they were tried and true recipes, but they came to rely on them. And now we hear stories 25 years later of how certain recipes have become absolute traditions in families. And those are wonderful stories. We love to hear those.
Now, the two of you have also helped us over the years realize we don't have to be master chefs to be able to put on a very attractive, not just attractive to the palate, but attractive to the eye kind of dish. And there are things that maybe once were very special, once a year kind of occasions that now we can make every day because we know how easy they can be.
That's right. The recipes are very well written. By the way, that chili for a crowd, which you and Julie were just talking about, we squeeze lemon juice in at the end, and lemon juice brightens all the flavors. Now, that's a trick. And there's chopped dill in there. And see, all those little special tricks. Now, see, I said at the beginning of this interview, familiar ingredients in unusual combinations. Now, that lemon juice pops the flavors. You see? And that's the trick. Why does everybody love this? Because the recipes are delicious. And I'm sorry if that's embarrassing to say, but that's the truth. All these recipes work, and they're yummy.
It's amazing to me that there's a finite number of ingredients on planet Earth, but there seems to be an infinite number of ways that you can combine them and cook them a little differently.
But that's why we love cooking. Sheila and I are both self-taught cooks, and it's an insatiable curiosity. You can make something different every day. Yes, there are only so many vegetables. They haven't invented a whole lot of new ones lately, but you can create different things all the time. And so it makes going to the kitchen every day, which we do, testing recipes, much more intriguing, and it satisfies your curiosity.
Besides the color photos, was there anything you'd always wanted to do since 1982 that you figured, if only we had the chance? Now with this book, you finally had the chance and you could do what you'd always wanted to do with the book.
We really didn't want to tamper with it too much, I must say. The color photographs were the big, you know, addition, and then changing all of the text. But then we had more pages, so we got to add more quotes, we got to add more information on ingredients, things that, I mean, you know, beluga caviar, one day you can eat it, the next day it's banned, you know, so back and forth and back and forth. So we tried to make it as up to the minute as possible with as many ingredients as we could, and we did have, I think, about 80 extra pages that we were able to put more information and update the old.
And we did go over all the recipes. We went through the whole poultry section. We, we changed some of the temperatures. We calibrated a little differently, upped them a little, cooked the poultry for a little longer, just to make sure everything was perfect. Went through all the recipes, checked them all out. No, seriously, did this with the baked goods, with the breads, and made sure that all the recipes worked perfectly. So, because we knew how many people cooked from this book and how many people loved this book, so we went through everything and made sure that everything worked just perfectly.
And we were able to retain most of Sheila's drawings, which were an integral part of the first cookbook. They're very charming and delightful, and we couldn't not have them. So they have most of the drawings.
But, you know, it's just so nice to be able to revisit or newly visit so many people out there and talk to them about this book. You know, it was 25 years ago, and reintroduce the book and talk about it and really enjoy it so much ourselves. And Julie and I have been together, and it's such a pleasant experience.
Would this book have worked as well if you two weren't such good friends?
Well, I think it's fun that we are, and we spent so much time together. We were great partners for 11 years, and it was great that we did it, that we had the opportunity to do it, and to do such a nice book that's out there. And I think it did a lot for the cookbook business. And the cookbook world. Everyone seemed to want to do a cookbook afterwards, let's face it. I know, it's great.
I think it's been great fun for us to see all these tattered and torn cookbooks across the country. I mean, people bring them with rubber bands tied around them, you know, and that's fun. And today, Sheila and I still finish one another's sentences. We still like the same kind of food. We still gravitate towards the same dishes on a menu. It's pretty funny.
Sheila Lukens died in 2009. She was 66. Now you can get a copy of the Silver Palette Cookbook by Sheila Lukens and Julie Rosso by tapping the link in our show notes or by going to our website, heardeverything.com. We may earn an Amazon commission if you make a purchase. HeardEverything.com is where you can also hear my 1999 interview with the Barefoot Contessa, Ina Garten.
I think it's just about taking really good ingredients and enhancing them. That's really what cooking is for me. It's not about, so much about the art of layering flavors and trying new things.
And my 1993 conversation with the queen of them all, Julia Child.
They're just afraid of food. A healthy person has a little bit of everything. The idea is moderation in all things. But I think the media has just scared us. They've taken the fun out of food.
And of course, we post new episodes of Now I've Heard Everything right here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. And you can find us everywhere you listen to podcasts. And thank you so much for listening. Next time on Now I've Heard Everything, for many years he was known as the Clown Prince of the Harlem Globetrotters, my 1987 interview with basketball star turned Christian minister, Meadowlark Lemon.
That was one of the hardest things to do, is to be a step ahead of everybody. There are a lot of people always under you, trying to imitate you and trying to take your job.
That's next time on Now I've Heard Everything. I'm Bill Thompson.